Sacrifice brings forth the blessings of heaven. Elder Franklin D. Richards. Franklin D. Richards, Conference Report, April 1967, pages 74-77. My dear brothers and sisters, I am grateful for the blessings of this day. I am thankful for my knowledge and testimony that God lives and that through the atoning sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we may enjoy eternal life as we are obedient to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. We are blessed to be living in this dispensation when the gospel, the church, and the power to act in the name of God have been restored through the instrumentality of the prophet Joseph Smith, one of the greatest prophets of all time. Likewise, we are blessed to be led and guided today by another great prophet, our beloved President David O. McKay. May the Lord bless and sustain him. Sacrifice brings forth the blessings of heaven. William W. Phelps, an early convert to the church and gifted hymn writer, wrote the inspiring hymn Praise to the Man, a magnificent tribute to the prophet Joseph Smith. This beautiful hymn not only incorporates the elements of rejoicing and prophecy but also contains choice bits of basic doctrine as well, as is evidenced by the statement, Sacrifice brings forth the blessings of heaven. About this time the saints were experiencing many blessings resulting from their manifold sacrifices. The prophet, in delivering a lecture on faith, impressed this truth when he said, that a religion that does not require the sacrifice of all things never has power sufficient to produce the faith necessary unto life and salvation. It was through this sacrifice, and this only, that God has ordained that man should enjoy eternal life, a fundamental principle, with illustrations. Yes, the law of sacrifice is a fundamental doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ and contributes to the building of faith, love, and many other virtues. In this connection it is interesting to note that Webster's Dictionary defines sacrifice as a surrender of some desirable thing for a higher object. This is undoubtedly true, but it might be observed that the higher object is not always discernible at the time of the surrender or sacrifice. However, to fully realize the importance of the law of sacrifice, it is necessary to consider the purpose of life. This earth life has been provided that each of us might be proved to see if we will do all things that the Lord commands us to do. While the Lord has given us a clear plan to follow, we must recognize that evil influences exist and provide temptations and obstacles for us to overcome. For, as Leahy said to his son Jacob, for it must needs be, that there is an opposition in all things, if not so, righteousness could not be brought to pass. Inasmuch, then, as this earth life is a proving ground, it provides choices for us, and frequently the decisions we have to make are not easy. Many of our decisions require sacrifices, and sacrifices involve giving up something that appears important and desirable. In considering our free agency and the opposition that exists in all things, we must never forget that God always functions within eternal laws. The Lord has said, I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say, but when you do not what I say, ye have no promise. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. Hence it becomes evident that many great blessings are predicated upon obedience to the eternal law of sacrifice. The Savior said, Let no man be afraid to lay down his life for my sake, for whoso layeth down his life for my sake shall find it again. Thus the supreme sacrifice of one's life is rewarded by that person finding his life again, even life eternal. You and I may never be asked to lay down our lives for the gospel's sake, but obedience to the law of sacrifice in a lesser way is also rewarding. The history of the Church of Jesus Christ in each era is replete with experiences of every kind and description that men are prone to call sacrifices. The saints more frequently have described these experiences as opportunities and blessings rather than sacrifices. On one occasion a rich young ruler came to the Savior and asked what he should do to be saved. Jesus enumerated several things, including honoring his parents, chastity, and honesty. He replied that he had done all of these things from his youth. Then Jesus told him to go and sell all that he had, give it to the poor, and follow him. But the young man thought more of his riches than the kingdom and refused to make this sacrifice, which could have turned out to be a great blessing, even eternal life. On another occasion one of Jesus' disciples said that he wanted to follow him but asked, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. As the Savior was calling the fisherman Simon, also called Peter, and other disciples, he said, Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and followed him. Peter and the other disciples were willing to accept and comply with the law of sacrifice. The rich young ruler was not, according to Webster's dictionary definition, Peter and the other disciples were willing to surrender a desirable condition for a higher object. The rich young ruler was not. Peter and the other disciples received the blessings. Jesus' life was the perfect example of dedication and sacrifice. He had no silver or gold to give, but he gave faith to his disciples, health to the sick, and hope to the discouraged. His life was in every respect a sacrifice for all. Joseph Smith's life was another great example of dedication and sacrifice. While in Liberty Jail, the word of the Lord came to him, "If thou shouldst be cast into the pit, or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience, and shall be for thy good." Here the prophet was specifically told that these tribulations and sacrifices would be for his good and blessing, and undoubtedly the Liberty Jail experience was preparing him for coming events. In the end, he and his brother Hiram were called upon to be martyrs for the kingdom of God, another great story of sacrifice and blessing. The words of the Master are certainly applicable in the case of Joseph and Hiram. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The building of the church, from the time of the prophet Joseph Smith to the present, has required constant sacrifices on the part of the saints. As we study the history of the church, we find peculiar situations and obstacles in each era. I am certain that those that lived in these various periods each felt that the problems of his time were most acute and required great sacrifices. Undoubtedly, the problems of establishing the church and the persecutions incident thereto were severe. Likewise, the difficulties of the migration to and settlement of the West required great faith and sacrifices. The period preceding and following the manifesto was most difficult, and so each period had its own peculiar tests, and as they were successfully met, a broad and solid foundation was laid for us to build upon. The Savior instructed us to seek first the kingdom of God, and to do this, we must put the church first in our lives. Even though it requires self-denial and sacrifice, we are living in a new era, a period of constant changes, a time of unprecedented growth and development, the age of the jet airplane, the computer, and the communications satellite. Our problems are those incident to great and rapid growth and change. Far-reaching challenges are requiring the sacrifice of the saints' time, talents, and means, possibly as great as ever before. Today, some are sacrificing friends, family, and positions when they join the church, as some did in the early history of the church. Today, many are sacrificing for missionary work, either in supporting missionaries or by going on missions themselves, as many have throughout the history of the church. Today we have a full church program, and whether we are called upon to be a Sunday school teacher, a bishop, an usher, to pass the sacrament, to be a missionary, to work on a welfare project, to do genealogical work, to consult on data processing problems, or any other church assignment, or whether we are called upon to make contributions of our means, we should recognize that whatever do according to the will of the Lord is the Lord's business. Sacrifices are opportunities. Sacrifices today are in reality opportunities, the same as they have always been. With reference to sacrifices incurred in building the kingdom of God, the Savior promised that there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come life everlasting. How true this is! Each of us has his duties to perform, and to perform them faithfully should be our constant aim, even though self-denial is required. Let us all appreciate that today as of old, sacrifice brings forth the blessings of heaven. May we each put the church first in our lives and more fully understand and appreciate the eternal law of sacrifice. May sacrifice become a part of our daily lives, that we and our families may enjoy the blessings derived therefrom. I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.